what I'd like to communicate to you, I guess, is best summed up with those verses from Philippians 2. Have this same mindset. Have this same mindset. On the 17th of the 1st, 2015, we were camping at Mallacoota, and one of the things, you know, living where we live in a, we've got an acre of land, acre and a quarter, but we're surrounded by farmland, and so we don't have any near neighbours, and we don't often hear people speaking, but in your campground, you hear everything around you. And I heard this, I heard a woman, as I'm sitting there having my little worship time, I heard this woman say to a friend of hers, as she's overlooking the river at Mallacoota, and she said, "I never tire of that view. I'm going to take a pic and have it as my screensaver. Then every time I'm having a bad day, dot, 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 dot." And as I'm in the middle of this worship time, it kind of occurs to me that screensaver's a really great metaphor for where our mind goes. What does it switch to at rest or after a certain amount of lack of external stimulation? Like, where does it fall back to? What is the basic fundamental mindset that your mind drops back to when unchallenged? And if someone was to create, to see an image of your basic fundamental mindset, what would that look like? Now, as is normally the case, I like a bit of, to use Cheech and Chong's idea, I like a bit of audience participation. So I'm going to encourage some audience participation, as they pronounce it. But in my, if someone was to take a picture of my mental mindset, I mean, who knows what they'd see? Good heavens! But in my mind, it would probably look something like me, sort of pumping an exercise bike in a degree of kind of frantic, this frenetic thing of kind of not quite moving nearly as fast as the movement of my legs should suggest, you know. And I'm wondering if anyone else has got an image of what their mental mindset might look like, what their screensaver, their psychological screensaver would look like, unmodified, if someone else was to see it. I don't blame you for not wanting to confess. And there'll be further opportunities for audience participation, just in case you thought that I didn't know actually how to say that, in a minute, which I think you'll be more comfortable confessing. Yeah. Right.
So if the connection is with this lady taking a picture.
She wanted to take a picture of the Mallacoota River as her screensaver so that her screen would always default to that calming, calming mindset.
So is that saying what is your
mindset that drops back to? At rest, in a sense. What mindset do you wake up in is probably quite a good setting. A good question. All right. To be honest, I think I'd rather cope with blankness than what I often feel. You know, I've learned not to believe what my brain tells me at 4 a.m. I just do not believe. Like, I go, whatever my brain, whatever state my mind wakes up in at 4 a.m., I'm now just go, I don't even believe you, mindset, brain. I know what I feel, and I know how I feel when I wake at 6, and I'd much rather face that than what I when I wake at 4. So blank would be a bit of an escape for me. Yes, it's quite a complex question, I appreciate. Yeah. Right, so that's your longed for scene. That's what you'd like. What is the scene? Fire trucks trying to burn it down. I get it. So you're having to defend this moment of quietness and peace. Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate I've kind of made it really rather complex in there. But it will simplify as we go along. But I have found that for me, the best modifier, the two biggest modifiers of my fundamental mindset, of just that slight frenetic thing, there's a little bit of fear in it. there's a little bit of duty in it. I think there's a big chunk of duty in it that keeps me in this state of just kind of frantically pumping. And I know that this is not a sanctified mindset, you know, that my role, part of my journey is to sanctify this mindset. Anyway, so the two things I've found that best modify that is, one, working with the soil kind of slows me down, just working with the dirt. A lot of garden jobs are just really boring and repetitive, but there's something about contact with the soil. Try not to listen to too many podcasts or whatever, you know, unless the weather's really hostile, because I want to just tune into the sort of the slowness and the silence. But the other thing is worship. For me, worship is just the thing that is going to transform my mindset, and I want to start the day in that place, in worship. But as for the mindsets, I'm interested in knowing what kind of mindset you might pursue. And when I'm worshipping, my question is, am I worshipping out of a funk? You know, am I worshipping to escape from a negative mindset, or am I worshipping into true reality? And that's my belief, that when I'm worshipping into the truth, into the true, how my mind should be at all times. So my question is, what mindset would you choose? What kind of biblical mindset would you choose if you could choose? The default mindset, the screensaver mindset, the one that your heart and mind drops back to when you're not at church, when you're not thinking about it, when you're not actually deliberately modifying it. I'm just going to see, I've got to turn this on. That will help. I wonder if you'd like the peace and blessing mindset. Because the Bible tells us, and I reckon I've used this verse in 50% of the last 10 years of sermons actually, we're blessed in the heavenly realms with every blessing in Christ. That's your reality. That is actually your reality. How good would it be to live in that mindset? A mindset of peace and blessing. How amazing would it be to wake in that mindset? To wake up going, I'm blessed. I'm just so blessed. What an incredible mindset that would be. Who'd vote for a bit of peace and blessing if they could modify their mindset? Yeah, I think there's going to be a general uptake on that one. And I'm interested in these because I think on the one hand we have probably personality leaning towards one or other of these mindsets that I'm about to go through. But I think part of it also is a God-related prophetic thing upon you, that which resonates for you may well be that which is your destiny, in a sense, from a mindset point of view. To some extent, we all need to take on all of these, but I'm just interested in, across the spectrum, which ones do you go, if I could only have that. Like the lady in Mallacoota, if I could just say, that will be my mindset, my psychological screensaver will drop back to an awareness of peace and blessing. How amazing that would be. What about servanthood? Servanthood is interesting. Jesus said that he didn't come to be served, but to serve. Curiously, though, he also said that God no longer calls us servants, he calls us friends. So we need to keep this in a bit of a balance. But servanthood is a really interesting one. Certainly, it was clearly Jesus' mindset. And there's this beautiful saying that Jesus ruled with the heart of a servant and served with the heart of a king. And what a lovely notion for us to rule, to reign in life, as we're told scripturally, with the heart of a servant, but to serve with the heart of a king. We are royalty, and our servanthood comes out of our royalty, our priesthood, the royalty of being Jesus' little brothers and sisters, and being princes in this incredible kingdom. So I wonder if servanthood, I know a lot of you, there's incredible service heart in this church, and there are people for whom that will resonate greatly. About sonship, I'm a bit obsessed with this one. this idea of sonship. And I'm obsessed with the desire to be able to confer sonship in speaking to people, to be so aware of my sonship that I, in speaking to someone else, I can treat them as a son. And it's something I've put down as a real goal, me and God together, is to get to this place of being able to confer sonship. I love that idea. I don't know whether it resonates for you at all, but for me it's a really powerful yearning. And Galatians, those amazing verses in Galatians 4 when it says that God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to free those under the law that we might receive the full rights of sons. So everything's been done that you might receive the full right of sonship in this incredible kingdom. Imagine what it would be to wake up just going, I'm a son of God, I'm a child of God. What an incredible transformational mindset that would be. A mindset of silence. You know, in Psalm 46 verse 10, saying, be still and know that I am God. If that was your fundamental resting place in God, that when every other bit of distraction disappeared, like your screensaver, after 10 minutes it clicked in, just to a silence before him. Oh man, isn't as I say it, I feel my heart yearning for it, for that inner silence. Four of these six start with S. How about that? I could almost become a preacher, couldn't I, with that? You know, superhero. How about you? If you had your fundamental thing is, I am a person of such power. Almost like, I mean, there's really lovely metaphors in gaming. The idea that, you know, you work to get these powers and that these powers mean that you enter the world with a sense of what you can do and how you can manipulate or change or what otherwise the world. And whilst it's a very unsanctified image of it, it's really interesting. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, says Acts 1:8. And I don't think it'd be many people in the room who would believe that they're living without the Holy Spirit in them. But what would it mean, and I reckon this is the one that probably least resonates, is that idea of being a person of power to mean that I step out of into my day knowing that I'm empowered with powers of healing, powers of life transformation for other people. And how amazing that would be to have that. We find it hard within our notion of humility to think of this as a fundamental mindset. We'd rather sit with servanthood. That sits more comfortably with us. But the idea that in many ways we carry this incredible power, and it is a mindset that we could justify living in. The mindset of the soldier warrior, to which I say, see Greg's sermon last week about Gideon, you know, that God's word to him, something like greetings. What is the word, Greg? Greetings, mighty warrior. Mighty warrior to a guy who was trying to hide and was more aware of the defense that he had to live in, the holding back the fire trucks against Dave's quiet, massive library of old books. He was more aware of what he had to defend, and God says, greetings, mighty warrior. And I think it's kind of what he does to us daily. He wants to greet us as he sees it. You know, there's that amazing verse that God who speaks things that are not as though they are, that his view of our day when we wake up is so different to ours. And how amazing would it be if our first word that we heard was his view of our day, not our view of the coming day, that we could hear that, greetings, mighty warrior, greetings, son of mine, greetings, you superhero, you greetings, you powerful, powerful, power-filled person. How amazing that would be. Just this morning we sang in the very first song that I am a conqueror and co-heir with Christ, and firm on his presence I'll stand. We sang that notion that I am a conqueror and co-heir with Christ. I wrote down a couple of things during the worship about this. Fiona mentioned the idea of being carrying this glory, that we are glory bearers. And I mentioned in worship last week that I feel like the Lord has said to me, I need you to learn to load bear. You are bending under the weight of my glory, and I need you to learn how to stand up straight in my glory. And going, wow, what an amazing notion of being a load bearer of God's glory. Or John, the Apostle John's idea of being the beloved, that John, the book of John says, and the disciple Jesus loved. And it was John himself. He was writing about himself. It wasn't somebody else. He was writing about himself, the disciple that Jesus loved. And what an amazing notion to wake up just going, I'm the beloved. It's possible. I mean, it's true. It's actually true. But what an incredible mindset if we could live in that. Interested in then how much is it our responsibility to adopt these mindsets? You know, what does it require from us? And I'm really interested in this verse in 2 Corinthians 1:20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through him the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. There's a song that we sing, and all your promises are yes and amen. And I've always thought it's God that's going, yes, amen. And it's not. It's God saying yes. It's us saying amen. We agree with what you're saying about us. All those mindsets we went through are things God has said about you. And it's up to you to say the amen to that and go, you know what? I believe that. I'm adopting that. That's going to be my screensaver mindset. Or this one from Hebrews. Therefore, my holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess. Fix your thoughts. It's a call to action to fix your thoughts. And I remember Brent Adams often going on about that thing of taking every thought captive, every thought captive. And so there's a degree of diligence required from us, but at the same time, we are very heavily dependent on his ability to transform our mindsets. I better just check my notes to see if I've deviated too far from the intent. And then there is, of course, that very famous one from Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, i.e. don't conform to the psychological screensaver that the world would give you, which is what we mostly live with, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. One of the best things I've heard about this is people whose job it is to look for counterfeit notes. They don't spend their life studying counterfeit. They spend their life studying the true thing so that they recognize the deviation from it. So they know exactly what a real note looks like, and thus they recognize one that's not fake or that is fake. Likewise with this, when our minds are transformed away from the pattern of the world, then you'll be able to test and approve, to understand, recognize and see God's will as it sits alongside the reality that you live in, as it echoes with the reality that you live in. So we're used to the idea of God transforming hearts, but he wants to renew our minds as well. And it was, of course, no coincidence that Fiona mentioned this very verse this morning. My brethren, count it all joy. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, etc., etc. But count it all joy. Count it all joy. This is so not what the world would have. This is not so not what a worldly mindset would say, exactly as Fiona said this morning. All this stuff, we get hit with it, and James is saying, count it all joy. Reset your fundamental mindset. Reset your screensaver mindset. Count it all joy. Man, it's tricky, but there's so much liberty in there. So much liberty. And then possibly the only verse I could come up with, well, it is the only verse I could come up with. The point is possibly the only verse that there is in Scripture that says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So they're telling us, this is Jesus' mindset, adopt it. Who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, something to be gotten hold of, but made himself nothing. Some versions say emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. So just this idea of emptying yourself, being free from self and self-focus. If you could choose your mindset, maybe it wasn't up on the list, is there some longing in you for a certain mindset? You go, oh, I've tasted that. At certain times I've tasted that, and if that could be the place that I live in my head and heart, that's where I would love to be. Is there anything anyone would like to share? What's your ideal psychological screensaver moment? Your ideal mindset? Pardon? In Jesus' presence. That's so powerful to imagine. You know, because you know you're never out of it. You know the only thing that takes you out of it is the mindset that you're in, but that he is so, you know, the word says he's in your heart and in your mouth. He is so close. And if we could live permanently in that state of, Lord, I'm just so aware of your presence, that's such a magic one. Being yourself in his presence. Yeah.
Whatever that looks like.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's so incredible to imagine a permanent sense that the thing that you are most aware of is his presence. What an amazing notion. What an incredible mindset. How would that change the way you experience your day? Any other mindsets that you might adopt, or that you'd like to adopt, or that you're working towards adopting, or that might be 50% of your time in that mindset anyway, you just wish it was 100? John? Right. Yeah, wow. So the old is gone and the new has come. So to be aware of the liberty of past, and to say, this is, I am a new creation before God. Yeah, what an amazing idea. To not be burdened by a past. Yeah, amazing. And what does that then do for your heart in that what does that image do for you? Right. Yeah, yeah. To imagine that every exchange you have with a person, And we were praying. I was praying for this yesterday, and we had this garden opening up on Mount Macedon, and there was 1,400 people came through that garden, and was just so aware of going, every single interaction is an opportunity to confer sonship or some kind of moment of glory, you know, that, and I'm getting better at setting into the day with that attitude, but somewhere during the day I'll go, oh, I haven't thought about that again. Like, and I don't know how conscious it needs to be, but I know I'm better at it when I'm conscious of it, you know? And the day after, or a couple of days after I wrote that, I wrote down what the lady said in Malakuta, I read in a book by A.W. Tozer this quote from Thomas Traherne from the 17th century, and I just think it says, it's so beautifully about a transformed mindset, and instantly it just fills my heart with longing. I think I've printed it too small. Is that readable to you guys, or is that too small? Thomas Traherne said, "The children of the king can never enjoy the world aright until every morning they wake up in heaven, see themselves in the Father's palace, and look upon the skies, the earth, and the air as celestial joys, having such a reverent esteem for all as if they were among the angels." An incredible idea. That to see our world aright would be to wake up every morning as if we're waking in heaven. To look at the skies, the earth and the air and see them as celestial joys. And to see everybody around us as if we were among the angels. I'll say it one more time. The children of the king can never enjoy the world aright until every morning they wake up in heaven, see themselves in the Father's palace, and look upon the skies, the earth, and the air as celestial joys, having such a reverent esteem for all as if they were among the angels. So mindset goals, really, and it's really not about turning it into work. It's about recognizing where your longings are of this, where in that range or in some other range, and some of you have spoken out where your longing is, to acknowledge that longing and pursue that longing with God's transformational power, to know where you stand in him and to see your world through his eyes. Fabulous verse, "Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love," is this constant reminder to me that my goal is to wake up, my first thought just being, yeah, I'm loved. What is your first thought? And let's get to that place of expectation, of transforming that background mindset to something consecrated and transformed to reality, to truth, from wherever it currently is. So if we could have the band up. I believe we're singing Goodness of God. Yeah. "I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercies never fail me. All my days have been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up," I didn't realize now, till now, that those words are in there, "until I lay my head, I've lived in the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have, what is it? You have led me through the, send me through the fire. In darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I've lived in the goodness of God. All my life you've been faithful. All my life you've been so, so good. With every breath that I'm able, I will sing of the goodness of God.